man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of March 11th, 2024, Season 6, Episode number 10. This week we talk about the Living Wage for Musicians Act has been introduced into the U.S. Senate to increase royalty payouts for musicians. Wolfgang Van Halen responding to David Lee Roth's rant about him and their final tour together. Ex-Sepultura drummer Eloy Casagrande abruptly quits the band and may have secretly joined Slipknot a month before Sepultura's farewell tour begins. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly.
All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here, as well as David. How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Fabulous week. It's been decent weather.
Yeah, really nice.
Can't complain about the weather.
Yeah, really, really
it's
nice.
Supposed to rain sunny. This coming week here, but sunny California weather for us, so been enjoying it. We got some interesting stories to delve into today. Some follow-ups from past stories, including Wolfgang Van Halen responding to David Lee Roth's rant. And we're actually going to play the audio and check it out. I double-checked everything, so we should be good. You guys should be able to hear everything. I made sure. I got a new cable, too. I got a new XLR cable, so it's like the highest quality. It's not going to have any lossy or funky sounds to it. So that's moving forward, just a side note for different things. So that's cool. Living Wage for Musicians Act. Have you heard about that?
Just now. Sounds really good.
yeah, it's gonna be cool, and we'll get into the details of it. There's some drama with Sepultura and Slipknot a little bit here, as drummer Eloy Casagrande abruptly quit Sepultura, and he's rumored to have joined Slipknot, kind of in a secret Slipknot seance. No, I don't know. However those things happen in the rock world. We got that going on this week. What else have we got? And some other cool stories. I don't want to spoil it. There's some funny stuff at the end of the episode today. You're going to want to stick around for that. I don't want to give it away too much, but it's going to be good. Just like last week with the Oompa Loompa stuff, but it's not quite. And we have the return of our singing weatherman. Well, not singing, but the clever weatherman who inserts rock and metal lyrics into his weather report. He's back with a Metallica track. So he's going to be doing, I think it's Enter Sandman.
Oh,
and he uses the lyrics for Enter Sandman in his weather report. So
he's just a gem.
He is a gem. We need more people like that enjoy their job and want to have fun. All right, anyway, some tour news. Let's get to it. What do we got?
The Boss.
The Boss is kicking off his tour this coming week. Well, March 19th is when it actually kicks off in Phoenix. And it's a huge world tour, which literally goes into 2025 around the world. 17 countries.
Look at that.
He's going to on this tour, which is totally nuts. Last year, he actually had to, if you guys remember, he had to postpone some shows. He was diagnosed with what they call a peptic ulcer. So he's symptom-free.
Ouch.
And he's back on the road. But it just kind of goes to show some of these, guys in that point in their life, they're all suffering from stuff like we do. And then imagine living on the road away from the comfort of your doctor, your home, and everything else, and you're eating like crap probably,
yeah,
and doing what you can to, that's got to be tough, especially for, as you get older.
That's why they tell them, I want all brown M&Ms.
Right, because otherwise he's not going to go on stage.
Yep.
He wants a bat so he can bite the head off of it.
Right.
Got to have it. It's got to be a specific Argentinian breed of bats. Not the Chinese bats. Those are no
not
good.
Not a Philippine
they taste
flying
different.
Fox. They're right. Too big. Too big. It's a fight. It's a real big fight to do that.
Oh, my God. All right. So, anyway, that's going to be an awesome tour, I got to say. I would love to. I've never seen Springsteen live, and I'd love to be able to catch him on this tour.
Springsteen's from Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Four days.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania.
Hometown, August 15th through the 23rd. So if you guys are on the East Coast or whatever, you got to check out one of those shows, man. Pretty awesome.
I'll have to tell my buddy. He's a big
Springsteen fan. And then look at these world tour dates, man. Ireland, Czech Republic, Spain, Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, England, and then coming back with four hometown shows to kick off the second leg of the U.S. tour, which goes into Canada. Pretty awesome.
It kind of makes me wonder, like, does Springsteen run out of money? Like, is he like, oh, I better go on tour again, get low.
I imagine maybe it's those grandkids and grand, you know,
right?
Who
wants
knows?
To buy them like an island or something?
I don't think a guy like Bruce Springsteen is running out of money. But at the same time, I think he does probably have a very expensive lifestyle he's become accustomed to, maybe.
Maybe.
And, you know, gotta keep the gears turning, as they say. But I don't know. I think it's honestly a lot of this stuff, too. They really, truly just love getting out there and playing.
Getting out there and doing it.
But yeah. It is also the main way musicians make money. This we're going to be delving into the reason why they don't make money with the other way music is consumed, which is mainly streaming these days. This is the moneymaker. This is where they sell the merch. They sell all that other stuff. They get a big payout. They get a nice chunky payout. They get to do what they love and play live to the crowd. It's like a win-win kind of thing. So I think that's why we're seeing a big resurgence with all that stuff, live shows in general. But let's move on. This was an interesting rock news story this week. It's still kind of unconfirmed in Slipknot's camp, but we'll kind of go over the details of this. So here's a quote from Sepultura saying, without prior warning, he immediately left the band. This is regarding Eloy Casagrande, their drummer, abruptly quitting and reportedly joining Slipknot. The Brazilian metal veterans who start their farewell tour next month say their longtime drummer left to pursue an unnamed outside project at the time of pressing.
Unnamed.
Right. But you'll see why everybody's saying it's him. I have a video queued up of him doing some Slipknot videos on his YouTube that he uploaded about 2 years ago. So he's definitely capable and definitely a fan. He has been replaced by Grayson Nekrutman. In Sepultura. So they made this announcement on their social media saying, quote, welcome Grayson Nekrutman to Sepultura, who replaces Eloy Casagrande, who has decided to leave Sepultura. This was just this past week. The band declared that their shock over his exit, saying they were taken by surprise that their now former drummer would abandon everything related to Sepultura. February 6th, a few days prior to the first rehearsal, he informed the band that he was leaving to pursue a career in another project. So this was just a couple weeks ago, right? But I guess maybe a month ago that he made the kind of first mention of this. And the band was taken by surprise. Without prior warning, he immediately left the band. Luckily, American virtuoso Grayson Nekrutman will take the position of Eloy Casagrande as welcomed as the band's new drummer for the Celebrating Life Through Death farewell tour. In the wake of the band's announcement, he took to social media to release his own statement saying, I would like to announce my departure from Sepultura. Being part of the biggest Brazilian metal band was one of the best experiences of my life. Just want to thank the band and crew members. It was a story of almost 13 years in which I had the opportunity to learn and contribute with every song, show, and recording. These were years of great dedication, intensity, and commitment. We did 3 studio albums, very well received by the critics, countless shows on 5 continents, lots of stories to tell. So first of all, I reiterate my thanks to Sepultura and the fans for everything that we've been through. Maybe for the band's fans, it doesn't make sense at this point, but decisions needed to be made about thinking about new cycles that will come. We are made of choices, and they are not always easy. My departure will never erase my respect and gratitude to the band. There's a lot to come, and I continue to hope to continue making a lot of music and art. See you on the road. There's a picture of his replacement on the left, and then Eloy on the right. So before we get any further, what do you think of just, like, face value there, that kind of situation?
Sounds like he just, it was just, like, I'm kind of done with this, I guess.
Well, I think he saw the writing on the wall that they're done. This is their farewell tour.
Yeah.
And he got a job offer for another band that's still active. And he said,
he's a young fellow.
Yeah. He looks like he's in his 20s. Like, he's got to think of his future, and I get all that. But what a horrible timing to bail on the farewell tour of the band you're going to be leaving.
Yeah, really.
And then, you know, a month before, and then now this guy has got to step in and learn all this stuff in a short amount of time. But
when I don't know. Those people with names like Grayson, they can't be more than like 18 years old.
He does look very young. The guy Grayson there, Nekrutman.
Yeah.
I think I said Nekrutman. I've been saying it's Nekrutman, it looks like.
I kind of wonder, like, what's that going to be for him? Like, they're on the farewell tour and he's joining.
Well, maybe
is this just is like a chance.
Yeah, maybe this is his launching point.
Because
like,
I was in Sepultura on their farewell tour. And
right. It's going to be a launching point for him and maybe a good little paycheck and a tour. You know, get to see the chance to see the world because they are going to do a world tour. So anyway, he made a statement. Nekrutman saying, "Today I express my heartfelt gratitude, incredible opportunity, join the legendary ranks of Sepultura. To contribute to this legacy is a privilege that fills me with both honor and excitement. Sepultura's fearless approach to exploring new territories in the metal sphere is something I've always admired and strive to emulate in my own musical endeavors." So, pretty cool.
Yeah.
It all sounds good. Celebrating life through death starts in Sepultura's hometown of Belo Horizonte, Brazil on Friday, March 1st, with further dates confirmed for South America, Europe later this year. So I have a video here of Eloy Casagrande doing some Slipknot, so let's watch a little bit of this, and you could see kind of his talent on that, and that he's definitely capable. He's obviously knows the music. As you know, this is off of his own YouTube channel. It's not like somebody had to dig deep to find this. So here he is. I won't play too much because I don't want to get DMCA'd. So you can see that he's got the double bass on point there, and he's got a really good kit. I definitely recommend checking out his channel. He's a really good drummer, and he looks like he's a perfect candidate for that position for Slipknot. So, you know, more power to him. It's just a bummer the way, I guess, it all had to go down. I guess with job offers like that, sometimes the timing just, it is what it is, right?
You couldn't refuse.
That's right. Know? The Slipknot dons came to him.
I make you an offer you can't refuse. No.
You can't refuse. In a little creepy mask with a little dreadlocks hanging down. And I guess Corey Taylor's got a new mask that he's unveiling.
Remember back in the day when they had like the longer noses?
Yeah, the one of them still does. That's Sid, I think. He's the DJ guy. He's got this big long nose.
He's always
fornicating with it.
I was really let down when they got new masks.
Yeah, right? I know, right? They evolved.
Dang it.
All right. Judas Priest, check out these metal legends, man. In front of somebody's, probably Rob Halford's like mansion or something. But look, there's a cool piece of artwork of their new album, Invincible Shield. It just came out March 8th. And what's cool is that their debut album came out in 1974. It's 2024. So 50 years later, they're still putting out new music. They're touring. They're going to be at Aftershock Festival this year. And just really cool, right? I love to see bands at this point in their life, like, you know, still making original music, not just doing greatest hits, not playing fairs. And they're still touring the world and headlining and doing cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
Gotta love it. Cool stuff. So congrats to Priest and Invisible Shield. Is out now, so check that out. Speaking of new stuff coming out, Billy Idol is going to be releasing the deluxe edition of Rebel Yell, another 40th anniversary. Pretty cool double vinyl pressing with some cool, like, it looks, I don't know how they describe that. Vinyl looks like marbled, like blue and red vinyl. And it came out November of 1983, and now it's celebrating the 40th anniversary, so it's coming out.
Like, the red one looks like a steak. Sorry. Got a high marbling,
does, yeah.
A lot of high fat to protein ratio.
April 26th, this one coming out, and it has some B-sides and rarities. It looks like some demos here, some different remixes of different tracks, so maybe stuff you've never heard before, even if you already own the album. So
nice.
Very cool. All right, and he's on tour. Oh, yeah. He's playing mostly East Coast, it looks like, but then a West Coast date, Portland, Oregon, July. But Indiana, Georgia, Florida, all in May mostly for Billy Idol. So
nothing in the West, huh?
Nope, not at the moment. All right, let's get into the interesting story here this week. This is the bill introduced to increase streaming payments for musicians. This is going to be an interesting one because I'm curious to see how this has been being introduced. So this is not passed, obviously. It's not law or anything like that yet. But congressional members are attempting to help musicians make a little extra scratch from online streaming. It's called the Living Wage for Musicians Act. It would call for a number of pro-artist changes, the biggest of which would be an increase on the streaming royalty rate. So we've talked about this in the past, but artists are getting screwed over by Spotify, Apple Music, and all of that. Every time you listen to a song on one of those streaming services, the artist makes a fraction of a penny. It's something like 0.003 and 0.005 per stream. So,
my gosh.
It's minuscule. Even if you're making, you know, the premium payment to Spotify for $10 a month, these guys aren't seeing any more for that. So they're saying it takes artists more than 800,000 monthly streams to equal a full-time 8-hour a day, $15 an hour job. So that's, you got to be practically streaming your stuff for 1 million streams every month to be able to kind of afford that type of an income, right? So that's kind of crazy. And so according to this bill, the increased royalties would be covered by those subscription fees that you're already paying, as well as a 10% levy on non-subscription revenue, meaning even those using the services for free would help pay the new artist rate through advertising revenue. A press release further explained how it would work. I have some of the details here. So what do you think on the surface there, before we get into the details here?
I mean, the thing that makes me wonder is why isn't there some way to organize the musicians?
Yeah.
Like, there are writers' guilds and there's...
like a union?
Actors' guilds. Like, where's the musicians' union?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, songwriters...
really, I mean, it's just like, just people should just be like, nope, sorry, we're not going to make any more music for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, cut it off.
Because that is so wrong.
Yep. So this thing, it says it creates a fund that apparently directly compensates recording artists and musicians. The bill will allow more artists to receive a living wage for music, enabling them to pay rent, raise a family, buy a home, invest in their future. Recording artists also employ many other professionals in the music industry, all of whom are suffering from the current lack of financial return. Producers, arrangers, sound engineers, all that stuff, right? Rogue crew. The additional income musicians receive will allow them to professionally record more music, tour more extensively, create more merchandise, make themselves more available to fans. It all sounds good, right? I mean,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good thing. These are the type of bills that, as taxpayers, you know, I want to see getting passed in Congress and getting some support. So, thank you.
And I guess, I mean, who's going to lobby against it? Just tech?
And then big industry.
Big industry wouldn't like it.
I don't know.
Like some cut from it. Or?
Yeah, like people who own Spotify, and they're asking to now take away some of that cut that they've been taking from subscribers. You know, they take away.
So
say,
it's like BMI and Spotify. They're like
in cahoots.
Okay.
And it's funny because the label, it should be the one that's supporting the artist and not trying to rip them off, but it seems that that's not the case, you know, at face value. But I don't know. Let's see how it goes.
Well, I mean, there's a long history of that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Sure is. All right. This is the another hot topic, interesting story this week. Wolfgang Van Halen on David Lee Roth's disparaging comments. I have an interview here that I'm going to play from another radio station. I think it was a station in Atlanta that got this interview with Wolfgang Van Halen. And it's his first kind of recorded interview where he's talked about, and they brought it up. He's like, oh, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, what's the deal here? And so I'm going to play it for you guys. They actually do a good job of interjecting a little bit of the clip of David Lee Roth's rant beforehand, and then Wolfgang Van Halen talks about it right after. So it's about 2 minutes. I'm going to play it now for you guys. You guys could check it out, of course, on our YouTube channel. It's always on demand, youtube.com, @RockNewsWeekly, all that good stuff. So let's get to that. Let's play this Wolfgang Van Halen interview first, and then we'll get back and we'll talk about it, all right? So I'm just going to let it play with this on the screen here, and then you guys can just listen, all right? Enjoy. All right, here's the interview.
I want to ask you about an uncomfortable topic, but I don't think you'll run from it. What the hell is going on with the hatred from David Lee Roth?
My name is Dave Roth, and I'm interviewing a very special guest this evening, our Lord and Savior, Mr. Jesus Christ. Jesus. I mean, Mr. Christ. Welcome. Welcome.
Dude. Likewise.
We're told you have a message for all of mankind.
Bro, I just want people to know, okay? I want people to know I got this job because of my talents, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
I would have had this job anyway, even if my dad wasn't God.
This fucking kid, he's complaining the entire tour like I'm not paying enough attention to him on stage. Shalom to the dome, homie. I'm giving him the best. Everything I've got in front of 20, 30,000 people at a clip, and he's complaining to everybody around me.
Dave's not paying enough attention to me.
I don't understand.
What's wrong with him?
I don't understand why he's calling you out so in such a vile fashion.
I just, I guess I'm honored he even thinks about me as much as he seems to. I guess you have to take what he says with a grain of salt, considering he also said that he wrote Eruption and came up with the Frankenstein
strut. What?
So
I didn't know that. He said he wrote Eruption?
Yeah. Okay. He said he wrote all the songs that Dad wrote. So
he's sort of unhinged on a lot of,
I guess that's all I can say. You know, I seem to have been born into this Van Halen drama that has come way before me. And I guess now that my dad isn't here to be a target, I guess he went to the next best thing. I don't know.
Well, Alex, we don't.
Okay, so there you go. So that's the interview, and that's his response. So what do you think on his response right there?
He was kind of muted. You know, it's like he doesn't seem like he has a whole lot of. He doesn't have a whole lot of anger or anything like that. He doesn't come back with some snide comment or anything, really. So, I don't know. I think that's well taken.
He did mention, he's like, you got to take it with a grain of salt because he said he wrote all the guitar solos, like Eruption, came up with the pattern on Eddie's guitar.
Yeah.
And he's taking credit for all that stuff. So, he's kind of throwing him a little shade right there. But, yeah, I think that was a very classy kind of way of saying, hey, you know, feels like I'm just stuck in the middle, and now that my dad's gone, I'm the punching bag now.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not fair. And I feel like
kind of like a nuanced response. It's
yeah,
like, yeah,
but still good for Wolfgang to kind of address it, I guess, and not run away from it either. And some people are like, no, I don't want to talk about that. I'd rather not. Blah blah blah. And he could have had that choice, but at least he responded there. So yeah, I mean,
Yeah, I mean, what's David Lee Roth gonna say back to that?
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
I guess we'll see next week as the drama unfolds.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? I hope it just stops, though, and they just come to a point where they can both, like, agree to disagree, you know, and just move on, right? All right, we got some rock birthdays happening this week. Let's get to it.
Oh, did I have a couple?
All right, birthday time. David, take it away.
All righty. Evan Dando, singer of the Lemonheads, is 57 years old.
Look at him. He's just singing like, looks like in like an old-time saloon or something.
Yeah, by himself. Like a happy fellow. Is that like a hat or a sombrero?
Where?
No, like hanging in between the, those are little signs.
Yeah, they're like little signs. You thought maybe right here?
I thought that one to the right was a hat.
Oh, yeah. Nice
Peter,
12 string too.
Yeah, look at that.
I know. Anyway,
is that maybe that's the parlor in his house?
he just has an old saloon.
Or he lives in a saloon.
Yeah,
like
I could see him living in a saloon.
And you come into the doors, and it's those doors that go halfway up.
Yeah, like the old swingy saloon.
Swing them open, like at the Cosby's house or something.
All right,
Peter Wolf, former lead singer of Jay Giel's band. Is 78 years old.
He looks like a hip cat.
Yeah.
Right?
Who does he remind me of? He reminds me of someone else.
Yeah.
Gosh.
A Vegas
maybe
lounge
he reminds
singer.
Me of like a really like a dark haired Seth Green.
Sure.
Is that one? Yeah that's what it is. He just reminds me of a dark haired Seth Green. Matthew Fisher, former keyboardist of Procol Harum. won a court case giving back royalties to Wider Shade of Pale. He's 78 years old.
And it looks like with his royalties, he's invested in Tetley Tea, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, look at my teapot.
Pasta. Pangalactic old
it's got
time.
Polka dots, isn't it?
Number 42. Look at that. bleeding. Chris White, former bassist of the Zombies, is 81 years old.
Nice. All right.
Came up with the term zombie.
the original prototype of a zombie.
First to discover it in the Caribbean.
Right. And he wears that members only jacket since he's done that.
Yeah.
Ever since that day.
Look at that. David Gilmour, singer guitarist of Pink Floyd, 78 years old.
He's looking good.
Yeah, got your little Havana hat. Hugh Grundy, drummer for the Zombies is 79. So look at this. It's a Zombies sort of like.
I think High Grundy was his nickname in the 70s.
Was it?
I don't know.
There you go. He was high.
It could have been.
Cocaine
and
Grundy.
I didn't notice this, but yes, he's looking a little Hannibal Lecter-ish in this fava beans and a nice Chianti photo here. Love you, David.
Gary Numan. Singer, Cars, 66. And he's playing around here somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he's actually, at the end of February, he just played at the Warfield with Ministry.
Nice.
Yeah, Ministry
nice.
And Gary Numan.
Mike Alsop, Three Dog Night, 77 years old.
Yeah, look at him.
His copy of The View. M-View
hey, look
or
at
something.
That. I love that.
Look, I'm in the newspaper, mummy.
All right, some trivia time. Let's get to it.
This week
in rock and roll history
trivia.
All right, this week in rock and roll history trivia. This happened March 7th, 2004. This lead singer is arrested in New York City after leaving a bag with a .45 caliber handgun, ammunition, several types of knives, and an ounce of marijuana and some rolling papers in his hotel room, where it's found by the housekeeping staff. The drug charges are eventually dropped, but he pleads guilty to the gun possession charge, pays a $5,000 fine. Who was it? Was it A, John Popper, B, Wes Scantlin, C, Scott Weiland, or was it D, rootin' tootin' pistol shootin' joint rolling Crosby?
I'm just laughing because it seems like so many of these were just like tons of drugs and weapons. And then it's like, and I'm like, okay, I remember it was a different set of people. Now it's just a new set of people.
It's just a whole new group.
Yeah, this is just like up a couple decades,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2004.
Look at that. Oh, 2004.
The topsy-turvy world of rock and roll.
Yeah, right? Where you got to have like your brass knuckles and, you know.
Hey,
like,
you're in New York, man, you know.
Those mean streets.
Where,
the weapons, the knives where there's like spikes, there's like a knife coming out both
yeah,
sides. It,
and there's
right?
the knuckle in the front and then
the
knife
the
on the bottom.
Radiating spikes, yeah. Know? I'm going to go with Scott Weiland.
Scott Weiland,
because
right.
I think Stone Temple Pilots sound like a rowdy bunch. Seem like a rowdy bunch.
This was actually
Crosby.
Yes.
In 2004, my God.
Yeah, and see, this is where we get the kind of Crosby-like legend and lore that is David Crosby.
Oh, my God.
David Crosby was arrested March 7, 2004 in New York City with all of this stuff. The housekeeping staff found it. He pled guilty to the gun charge and paid a $5,000 fine. And look at him enjoying a huge joint.
That is just enormous.
Looks like at least 90
it's
years
like a
old.
Burrito.
Miss you, David Crosby. R.I.P. All right.
Yeah.
New rock and metal albums out this week. Ready for some cool album artwork?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take it away here.
So we got Agonista, Gray and Dry.
Looks like superimposed over the city, the tomb. Maybe like, you know, what's that, the city with volcanic ash?
Oh, Pompeii.
Pompeii.
And the cool thing is the fingers, like, make out
yeah,
the outline.
Right.
That's pretty good, I have to say. I'm good on that one, Agonista. Where are they from, I wonder?
I don't know.
Seem like they, yeah, I don't know, Gray and Dry. I could make a joke about that one. Apogeehen, Cyberstrictive.
Kind of looks like a futuristic.
Like an underwater world.
Yeah.
Would you say that
like
looks
the Matrix?
Underwater?
Like something. That, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like a dystopian future there. Pretty
the
cool.
Towers or the Watts Towers. Ecclesia. Ecclesia Militans.
Looks like a picture from like the Bible or something.
Yeah, like some Ethiopian.
Looks like they're coming out of the
cathedral or something like that.
This is like the mouth of hell or something. This is an animal, animal's mouth. Like, oh yeah, go ahead, go in here. It's cool, guys. We're just gonna ship you off. You know, just hang out in there. It's all good.
That one's cool. That's what's really cool.
It's good stuff.
Exorder Defectum Omnium. Always such like religious themes with
my, yeah, the contrasting of the like,
I mean, I
kind of
wonder about this, like, is, do you think that a lot of this comes from people's actual background, like of like religious upbringing, and then maybe like
a rebellion
sort of, like,
against
rebelling
it.
Against
yeah,
it
I think so.
Or do you think it's like just part of the vernacular of metal?
I think
and
it's both.
Do it.
I think it's kind of both at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of both.
It was funny. I was listening to this podcast yesterday, and they were talking about how there's just like Satanism in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they've been saying that since the 80s.
It was a podcast on conspiracy theories.
Right.
And it was like talking about the satanic panic and stuff like that.
The satanic panic.
Yeah, and it was sort of like, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, it's a fun kind of flippant kind of denial of
like how we saw
normal values. Kind
yeah,
of thing.
Like how we saw that guy like flying in like he was a spirit with his guitar and he's dressed like, you know, like a crazy demon or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's almost meant to be like a joke, like to piss off the status quo.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, how dare they do something like that? You know, how dare they show that? And to me, that's like the heart of like punk rock and what that kind of that ethos is all about. And I feel like the metal world is a lot more punk rock than what like punk rock used to be.
Yeah,
and I feel
like
they've taken over in terms of being able to piss people off. And
yeah,
the status
doing
quo.
That sort of like very, because it's like, I don't know. I've run into these people that are big like into metal and whatever, and they're all nice people.
Right. A lot of them are dorks and just
like
goofy guys, and that's really what the metal community kind of embraces and, you know, has a place for. And they do these like kind of off-kilter, funny, dark humor stuff.
Yeah,
like Rick and Morty type or whatever, just like
and they
dark
like
humor.
Horror movies and whatever.
Right.
But, like, the idea of a lot of these folks actually being like evil,
no, that's the whole thing.
Me.
It's just more of just like a, that's what they used to think about people back then, right? That they truly were satanic worshipers, but it was more of just like having fun and just being part of something that's, you know,
or that all a lot of that
counterculture
stuff is just a bunch of baloney anyways.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going.
Floya. Yume or Yume? I wonder if that's pronounced
that.
Cool, that's a really cool looking album.
Cool
cover.
Artwork, though. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
right?
That's really cool. But I would say that for judging by that cover, their music's probably going to sound like, what's the name of that band? Hoobastank.
I guess
I don't know what it is about it. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, it just looks too nice. I'm like,
it
you're
looks,
gonna end up coming
yeah,
out like
too mainstream.
Right?
We'll have to. I'll put it in YouTube here in a second. We'll check it out. Well, maybe at the end of the episode.
All right, Goat Major, that one right there, classic Ritual.
Yeah, that looks good.
All right, Ghost Prophecy.
I think it's Ghost.
Oh, Ghost. Ghost. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Got like a fire tree, like
it's
a
like Satan
like a,
and a nuclear
like
bomb.
A, yeah. A mushroom cloud tree-ish looking thing.
Yep.
The Jesus and Mary Chain, Glasgow Eyes. Judas Priest, Invincible Shield. Look at that. Kill the Lights, Death Melodies. Kim Gordon, The Collective.
Yeah, from Sonic Youth, her solo album.
Yeah, look at that. Meat Bodies, Flora Ocean Tiger Boom.
Cool little tiger.
Yeah, yeah, that. That remind I was gonna say, like, remember that story about why mosquitoes buzz in your ear?
Oh yeah, that type of artwork. Yeah,
it looks like that from the 80s.
Yep.
Mary Mac of Grace and Gravity.
Well, see, there you go. That's like a classic.
Yeah.
Black and white heavy metal, like, looks like somebody
very
tree or something
tangled
on the cross or something.
Yeah.
Body or something. All right.
Midas Fall, Cold Waves Divide Us. Midnight, Hellish Expectations.
Okay, this is great. We got to point out the naked
little
women.
Flying nun, little boobies
skites,
on there.
And then we have the nun as the bell.
She is the actual bell. Clanging, bonking her head.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's terror.
It's called Hellish
Sheer
Expectations.
Terror. Hellish Expectations.
Good stuff.
The Rolling Stones, Live at the Wiltern.
Yeah.
Skeletal Remains, Fragments of the Ageless.
That's pretty good.
Is that Captain? Oh, no. No, it's not a captain hat. It's like big goat horns.
Big horns, yeah.
Big old water buffalo head. Yep. Look at that. Yeah, very 80s looking. Slime Lord. Chytridiomycosis.
Yeah.
Relinquished.
You got it.
Chytridiomycosis.
There you go. That's a pretty cool abstract. It looks like it reminds me of those 70s interpretations of sci-fi of other planets, in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like those ones that they came out with around that time.
Sonata Arctica, Clear Cold Beyond.
Yep.
And Too Close to Touch for Keeps.
We got two more.
Turbulence, Binary Dream, and Vlad in Tears, Relapse. I don't like that one.
It's like a mirror image.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that one.
That
looks like a bad tattoo that like somebody would have got. Like, yeah, I want it like the skull's top is there. Her bottom of her mouth. It's the top of the skull's mouth.
Yeah.
They're like, that sounds sick, man. All right, yeah, let's get that going.
Get it down. Hey, you remember Jared Moore from high school?
I don't know.
I saw him the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Big, tall guy.
Did he have a tattoo like that?
He had a lot of tattoos. I was trying to, when you said tattoos, I was like, yeah, he had like a ton. So.
Okay, have you heard about Cerveza Cristal?
What is it?
Its integration into popular culture?
What?
Well, Cerveza Cristal, in the early 2000s in Chile, they get imports of different films, you know, American films and stuff like that. Well, when they show them in Chile, a beer company decided to cleverly and very subtly insert their product placement inside of these films. Well, now, 20 years later, a lot of these clips
Lord
are starting.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there's some good ones, man. So now they've kind of like people have created their own. So like people, they're putting Cerveza Cristal into significant moments in movie history. Instead of like it's Luke's lightsaber, it's a Cerveza Cristal, you know, and stuff like that. So I got to show you some of these ones on the site. You guys are gonna enjoy this. All right, so let's.
Did they do this in commercials?
No, it's in the movie.
In the actual film.
It's in the movie itself. It's way of
just like the Argentinian version of.
It's their way of inserting the ads in the movie,
product
I
placement.
Guess, you know. So watch. Let's go down this little rabbit hole for a second. This is funny. All right, so let me see if I can watch some of these here.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy. And a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. A good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
Oh my god. That's real?
That is absolutely real.
No. Oh my god.
That is not edited in any way. Instead of Luke's lightsaber, his father's lightsaber.
Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
No.
Okay, there's one. So there's some other ones. There's some good ones.
This is
here.
Like the dubbed version.
These are their versions of these American movies in Chile. So here's one from Dune.
He pulls his hand like out of the torture box.
The torture box, and he has a crystal.
You see how, like, his hand, like, how small it was like as he pulls
tiny,
it
yeah.
out?
Gosh.
Yeah, that's good, right? And then there's an
like totally sticks with the timber and tone of the movie.
Sí. Right. Yeah, it just it's flawless. Seguro.
Estamos a salvo de tus amigos.
Here's Palpatine.
Su debilidad es su exceso de confianza.
Tu fe en tus amigos es la tuya.
Es inútil resistir.
No, no. And he goes up to drink it.
Oh my god, man.
Not a lightsaber, nope, nope.
Cerveza Cristal.
Cerveza Cristal.
Oh yeah, okay, let's just do one more.
Chile.
Oh no, Chile. Let's just do one more.
What's gonna happen to the Nazis?
The Nazis love Cerveza Cristal.
Yeah.
It's just the one from Star Wars.
I kinda wonder, like, this must be pretty fun to, like, go and see a movie and think, okay. Where's the Cristal ad placement gonna be?
Yeah.
Don't worry, you got
okay,
it.
I got it.
Okay, you got it. And I don't let it touch.
It's
Iron Man.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say before.
When you're coming out, that's what I was trying to say before.
Cerveza Cristal.
It's all like dripping and stuff.
It's inside of Iron Man. It's inside of us all.
Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
Heart of a fighter.
Man, I could watch those all night.
Dude.
Cerveza Cristal, guys. You're welcome. So, go down that rabbit hole. It's some funny stuff. All right, news from around the world. Travel advisories for spring break destinations. They're saying they've raised the threat level of these areas. I guess Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Turks and, how do you say that? Caicos?
Yeah.
Mexico, Jamaica, Bahamas. They're saying that spring break travel alert when traveling to these areas. They're saying crime, including violent crime, can occur anywhere in Mexico, including popular tourist destinations. So what do you think of this, like, putting, do you think this is like, I don't know, they put this out right before everybody's going to go. Do you think that this is like politics? Do you think it's really that type of a new threat level that we need to put this out right before spring break? Or do you think it's just like reminding people, like, hey, don't be stupid drunk Americans in these places because you might get murdered?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder. It's sort of like, go to Oakland and, like, get your car windows broken.
Yeah,
like,
that's. I go to the In-N-Out in the Bay Area.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like in some cases it's just sort of like, well, I don't know. There was a couple of months ago, there's this famous Hmong comedian,
mm-hmm.
and he went to Colombia on vacation, and he like met a woman there, and he was like, murdered.
Oh God!
And it was like this whole weird, like, there's like this thing now where guys will like meet women and they'll go to visit them,
right?
And, they, like,
and just, it's like a gang that
set
like them up,
gang setup sort of thing.
Yeah, crazy, guys. Be careful, man. It's like, it's not the way it used to be, you know, like 20 years ago where you go to these places and there was no internet, there's no nothing. So I mean, everything's like crazy now, like what David's saying. It's like stuff that I wouldn't even think about that you could, you know, you never know, right? You
yeah,
could just
be
fall
careful
into a trap.
With that stuff. I mean, I do think that it's probably not as bad as it would. I don't know what is level two and what is level three.
I know.
What does that even mean? Because it's like, you have to remember Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Turks and Caicos. That's a majority of
It says level three, reconsider travel. U.S. State Departments. The U.S. Embassy in Bahamas warns against violent crime and notes that watercraft activities are not consistently regulated. So there's a little
watercraft.
Bit of...
Watercraft. Oh, okay.
A little bit of detail.
So they're saying, like, you go there and you could have violent crime and you could be injured or something like
and
that.
And and their waterways are not regulated. So you could run into, like, drug smuggling boats, people out there maybe, like, doing crazy shit because it's not really regulated.
Well, and I mean, I think the thing that they're leaving out here is that really a lot of things are happening right now in Haiti.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
that's a big
the whole
part of
story
it.
With that is the U.S. foreign policy in Haiti for, you know, really centuries has mm-hmm. been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it's
what
very
specifically now
there.
Like, but we don't want to get too into the weeds with it. But what now, like, is topical enough
so,
to where maybe something
I mean,
like
they
this...
had a military coup just a couple years ago, or it was a coup that was led by like some Colombian mercenaries or something
wow.
like that, which probably likely is connected to the U.S. too. Mm-hmm. But they've got gangs like running things right
yep.
now. It's
yep.
it's really a
kind of lawless,
dangerous place right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
don't be going there this year, guys. Take it from us. reconsider travel if the State Department is telling you to reconsider your travel. It's probably best to do that. All right. Let's get into some funny stories as we finish it up this week. I thought you would enjoy this one, Dave. Check this photo out. It's a glorious photo. A man sitting on many, many Big Macs here, laying casually with his glowing, flowing hair. Ronald Gorski has eaten 34,128 Big Macs. And he's the longest record holder in the Guinness Book of World Records. You want to see his story? I know
Gorski
you do.
Gorski began his burger binge.
Let's go down the road because I have his story right here, and we need to check it out because this is just it's amazing topical stuff here, guys. You're gonna love this.
Inspiring.
It's inspiring stuff. This is from the Guinness World Records official YouTube channel, so check it out.
The indomitable human spirit.
I love hamburger like no other food.
I have eaten 32,340 Big Macs in my lifetime. Wow. I'm closing in on 50 years next year of eating them every day. This is a McDonald's Big Mac. It's the best sandwich in the world.
Yeah.
When I like something, I stick with it all the time. My habit right now is just to eat two a day, and that would be like 14 a week. The obsession with Big Macs began because, for one thing, my love of hamburger. May 17, 1972,
for one,
the day I got my first car. I drove
pretty
to McDonald's.
Simple.
I ordered my first three Big Macs.
In 1972,
and I
ordered
said right there
Big
that
Mac.
I'm going to probably eat these the rest of my life. And I threw the cartons in the back seat and started counting them from day one.
This is 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009,
oh, wow.
10, 11, 12,
he saves them.
13, and so on.
How I keep track of how many Big Macs I've eaten is, for one thing, I save the cartons. Another thing is I save all the receipts. And I also keep a running count on a calendar. I've kept the running count on the calendar since May.
Isn't that crazy? I just thought that aspect of it, like, you're probably wondering, how do they keep track? How does this guy? Look at how in-depth this guy is with his...
That's the Wisconsin way.
The right
original one.
So I can tell you which Big Macs I ate on which day. This is a McDonald's Big Mac. It's the best sandwich in the world. As you see here, you've got your sesame seed bun on the top, first patty, pickles, you have some lettuce, special sauce, and you got your middle bun.
Look at how, like, affectionately he's describing this. Like, 30 years after eating whatever he said, 30-something thousand of these, he's still talking about it like it's the love of his life. Like, he's talking to his wife or something. Like, that's what also kind of blew me away is that... His love for this is, like, truly genuine, it feels like. It doesn't feel like this is a McDonald's ploy or anything. It's like,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
just a guy that, like,
I sure
truly
love
loves this
and
stuff.
Patty, slice of cheese, more lettuce and special sauce, and then the bottom of the bun. And that is your best sandwich in the world. Delicious.
Don Gorski did not tell me about his Big Mac obsession when we first met. I'm not sure it was an obsession quite then. He ate Big Macs every day. As a matter of fact, sometimes I would bring him a Big Mac, but I didn't realize it would go on forever.
I ate my first Big Mac on May 17, 1972. I started out eating pretty much nine a day. for quite a while here.
Oh my God. Nine a day, dude.
When I like something, I stick with it all the time. It's like for me, it's Big Macs every day. It's Coca-Cola every day. The stuff that I like is what I do every day.
Was he
and
like
it's just part of the way.
6 foot seven or something?
He does look very tall.
He looks pretty tall.
But yeah, 9 Big Macs a day back then in the 70s.
And he goes out to his job lumberjacking. And
yeah.
Cutting down.
People that say that Big Macs aren't healthy, I think it depends on the person. I think for most people, if they're unhealthy, it's because they maybe eat too much. For somebody like me, if I eat 2 Big Macs, and that's pretty much all I eat all day. But I like the fries, sure, but... You know, that's one of the things where
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, that's not like the, it's not the worst. It's got some meat in there. It's got some
vegetable.
I mean, I wonder though what his colon looks like. That just
feel like I can keep from eating and not gain too much weight, you know. So, but the Big Macs I gotta have. So that's my main diet.
So Don comes into the restaurant quite often. Since 1972, he used to come in once a day and order 2 Big Macs. Since he's been retired, I think he figured out he was spending more on gas than he was on sandwiches. So now he picks up 6 at a time and 8 at a time on Mondays and Thursdays. So we get to see him twice a week.
So he stocks up. All right, well, we don't want to go too much further into it. But, I mean...
It's an inspiring story.
It is. See, you really can do anything in life.
Yeah.
And you can be a world record holder. For the most craziest shit.
I mean, it just makes me think about just like how awesome people in Wisconsin are, though.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
I gotta say, that's a very Midwest thing, right?
Totally. Like, you know, it's like looking at that guy. I'm like, you know what? He could do that because I mean,
he's living
so
the
many
dream.
People, not everyone, but so many people in Wisconsin are just so steady.
Yeah.
They're
well, like you said,
so
like
steady.
Once I find something, I like it, and I just like it's like almost like they borderline obsess
they're
over
like
it.
Like methodical and steady.
Yep. So there you go, Ronald Gorski.
That hair though, too.
Yeah, it's very like.
I wonder if his hair flowing. Is so healthy because of how much protein he gets.
It's the
all the fats.
I think he rubs the special sauce in his hair.
Special sauce in his hair.
Yeah.
Puts it in a bun at night.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so this was very cool and a very 90s way of sending drugs in the mail.
Yes.
Cocaine-infused rollerblades found in the mail. Because this is what all the kids are liking these days, right? Hey, kids are really into cocaine or cocaine and rollerblades.
Rollerblades.
So we'll put them in the rollerblades. So how do they get in here, you're wondering?
Those are like the high-speed rollerblades,
I know. This
too.
Is like
that's like
speed
Ono
skating
or whatever his name.
Look it, they're in the wheels.
What?
Yeah.
Don't they know you're supposed to get the clear wheels?
I know. Well, these are cocaine wheels. They were infused with a gelatin-like substance that tested positive for cocaine.
Oh, my gosh. So the wheels themselves are cocaine?
Yep.
Dude.
Pretty cool, huh?
I want some cocaine wheels. Now, wait. Are those Bowers?
I don't know what they are.
Remember Bowers?
Yeah, Bowers. Yep, those were like the professional ones. I don't think so.
Those
these
are like
look,
the hockey.
These look
skates.
Like the Big Five version.
Big
of
Fivers.
Them. Yeah. Yeah. Not. But
the
I
Fisher
that was
Price.
Funny. 1,000 additional grams of cocaine in this.
I mean, is
crazy?
It,
huh?
Is it worth it? Like, is that really worth it though? Like,
it doesn't seem like
it.
Doesn't
seem like very much.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of work, like to make these
to
special rollerblade
wheels.
Like, yeah, with cocaine
and look,
in them.
The suspicious package headed from. Kenosha, Wisconsin.
From Columbia to Kenosha.
From Columbia to Kenosha. He was going to pick it up
that's
and
the
then
first...
have his hamburgers.
It was going to Ronald Gorski.
It was going to Ronald Gorski. He was going to finish.
I could
like,
actually see
one
him.
Other thing that he didn't tell us about.
I could actually see him doing rollerblading with cocaine rollerblades on his way to get his fucking ninth
like
Big
really,
Mac.
Really, really fast. Ah, the hair blowing behind him.
That hair in the wind.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Maybe wearing
stuff.
Like a spandex.
Yeah,
like
full
a,
spandex
like
bodysuit.
Spandex. The fanny pack.
All right, this is the last one. The Weatherman is back with his Metallica lyrics. We gotta watch this, right? This is gonna be good here. Metallica lyrics. So he gets requests. If you go to this, it's CW39 Adam Kruger. If you go to his social media, he'll ask people to request songs. So this is just another one of the requests that he got for Metallica.
So let's just play it. I'm going to play the video here for you guys. I think, oh yeah, I need to switch my screen so you can actually see the video. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. Check it out. Never, never land.
One is tonight, one's Friday, one's Monday, but it's not all bad news. Don't forget my son forecast right here on Thursday. We'll get rain for some people this afternoon, but rain to include everyone by tonight. See the rain chance up to 100%. 10 to 15 degrees colder this morning. Hopefully you're tucked in, warm within the blankets, as it's a cold field to start the day today. Now, as we go into about 10 o'clock tonight, that's when the heaviest rain comes through. Now, I know some of you might get anxious with overnight downpours. You may sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight, but just know that there will be minimal thunderstorms and certainly no severe weather, and then it keeps moving east as we go through the overnight hours. So the bulk of the rain totals you're looking at right here will be after we exit light and enter night. The most widespread rain comes in as a lot of you might be settling in for the night. And then
good.
By the time you're off to Never Neverland, a lot of this rain heads off to the east. Definitely gone by tomorrow morning.
Oh my goodness.
See, good stuff. That what should good. I do next? Leave a comment.
That is talent.
It is. It's really clever, man. I got to say, I love stuff like that. And good for him, man.
The end light. Enter night.
That's the rain comes in when we exit light
exit
and enter
light
night.
And enter night. Like, oh man.
Good stuff. All right, that's it for us this week, guys. Rocknewsweekly.com. As always, if you missed it, live twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly. We're live every Sunday. You guys can watch it with us. And then we post everything on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly. All right, so have a good rest of your week. We'll see you next time, guys. Peace.
See you later.